Greetings, friends and listeners. May you be blessed by today's program as we lift our voices to declare, souls are crying, men are dying. We must do all we can at any cost to win the lost while there is still time and liberty. The message you will hear today, "Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up?" is a clarion call of the Holy Spirit, and it came forth under a heavy burning anointing. And I pray you will be touched by the same anointing as you hear this word of the Lord today. And I'll be back to tell you how to order our message, "Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up?"
Okay, now indulge me a moment. I have problems a lot of times with many of the titles that church people just love to lavish on us. And you know why? Because titles equal entitlements. And titles have a tendency to make people think they're entitled. I'm entitled to have the best seat. I'm entitled to have this honor. I'm entitled to do this. I'm entitled to do that. If somebody says to me, "Sister Sharon, get up in front of the line," I'll get up in front of the line. But I'm not going to go say, "Hey, I want to get in front of the line. I'm Sister Sharon." I get in the back of the line, and if somebody says, "Let Sister Sharon go," you know what? I don't turn them down. I go. Jesus said, don't go there in the place you're invited for dinner and then go and sit in the best seat, because guess what? The host may come and say, "Excuse me, but that seat was for someone else." And then you got to get up in front of everybody and go sit in a lower seat and be embarrassed. You see, titles cause people to feel entitled. And that's the problem. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the body of Christ. Amen. It's about people that are sick and wounded, and they need love and care, and they need attention. The whole don't need attention. It's the sick and the bruised. They need a Savior. Amen. And you know, the best example is when James and John and their mother came to Jesus and said, "Master, I want you to do something for me." Okay. It's hard to say no to a mother. "Can my son sit on the left and the right in your kingdom?" And Jesus said, "Well, first of all, that's not for me to say. I don't have the authority to make that decision. That's up to my Father." But you know, let me just give you a little warning here. Do you know what you're asking for? And now he's talking to James and John. Do you know what you're asking for? Because are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? He wasn't talking about the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. He was talking about the baptism of suffering. He said, "Can you drink of the cup that I drink of?" And you know them being young and green and zealous. "Yes, Lord, we're able." They found out, didn't they? James was the first one that was killed. Herod beheaded him. And John, though he lived probably to be 100, he was boiled in oil. He was thrown on a rocky isle of Patmos full of snakes and reptiles. They learned, they definitely drank of the cup. But in that same scenario, here's the thing. Let me get back to my point here. When the other 10 disciples heard that, the Bible says they were moved with indignation. And this is in Matthew 20. You don't have to go there, but you can write it down if you want to read it later. Now, this word indignation in the Greek means it was out loud, loud and verbal. In other words, that quick, the other 10 disciples began to, you know, "Well, who do they think they are? And you should be, well, Peter, if anybody ought to sit there." Well, no, you know, you can imagine. It got loud, very loud and angry. And so what did Jesus have to do? He said, "Come here, guys, come here." And he called the 10 over with James and John and the mother. And this is what he said to them. I am going to read that, what he said. "And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called unto them and said, 'You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them.'" You know, the great ones exercise authority over the little guys. Now listen to this. "But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." I am very happy just to be called minister. I don't need to be called reverend or prophetess or anything else. Minister Sharon Knotts is fine with me. And you know, when I was doing this message, I just saw something I never saw before. Consider the way minister is spelled. M-I-N-I. Many. Many. Minimize me and magnify him. Amen. And it always amazes me that Jesus, moments, literally moments away from his hour of agony in Gethsemane, followed by the crucifixion, the last thing he had to do with his disciples is teach them a lesson about humility and get down and wash their feet and say, now this I want you to remember. Remember this night. Remember, saints, it's time to lay down your titles and pick up your towels and start washing the feet of the saints. Amen? Because people need to see a real Christian. And nothing will turn people off, sinners and unbelievers, more than some stuck-up, self-righteous, pious, you know, person with the Bible shaking it in their face and beating them over the head. You're not going to win anybody to Jesus doing that. And you can preach the truth so hot that they feel the coals of fire on their feet and still speak the truth in love. Because Jesus did it all the time. He put them under so much conviction, they couldn't even speak anymore. And yet the broken, the bruised, the ones that needed healing, they got such love and assurance from Jesus, and they hung on his every word. So I ask you today, are you the real Christian? Well, let's turn to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, let everyone that calls himself a Christian, depart from iniquity. Amen? Don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to live right. Verse 22. But flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I want to know, will the real Christians with a pure heart today please stand up? Amen? I mean, if you want to, you can. This is rhetorical. But if the Holy Ghost moves you, obey him. Okay? Come on now. If you're a real Christian, you should be living out of a pure heart. Amen? But look in the church today. We've got people in the church that are not married and they're sexually active. We've got teenagers that are sexually active, and some of them are on their second and third baby out of marriage. And here's the thing, they have no shame. People make mistakes. We don't throw people out of the church because they make mistakes. But when you make a mistake, you repent. Amen. And when you repent, you have contrition of heart. And when you have contrition of heart, you say, Lord, I don't want to go down that road anymore. Amen. We've got people young and old experimenting with alcohol and drugs in the church. The divorce rate in the church mirrors the world, and even at this point is beginning to exceed that of the world. Now, I realize one reason why the divorce rate in the world's not going up is because people simply aren't bothering to get married. Amen? We've got people in the church on their third and fourth marriages since they got saved. I mean, what you did before in the world is under the blood. You didn't know. But when you come to Christ, and sometimes divorce happens to Christians, how many know? I'm not the pot calling the kettle black here. Amen. There are times that things come in a Christian's life. The other person just turns their life over to the devil and does whatever they do. And the Lord gives Bible grounds for that innocent person to be free. But come on, number three, number four, something's wrong. Amen. And we've got people, they convince themselves it's not adultery when Jesus said it will be a wicked and an adulterous generation. But they sit in the pews and they smile and they say amen. Some of them are saying amen here this morning when they should be saying ouch. We've got practicing homosexuals in the church. And after a while, they buy the lie, God made me this way, I can't help it. And they're okay with Marilyn now having the stigma of being one of the first states to legalize same-sex marriage, because now they can tell themselves, well, if it's legal, somehow it adds some covering to what they're doing. But I want to know, when you stand on Judgment Day, are you going to stand before Governor O'Malley? I tell you, Governor O'Malley will stand before Jesus Christ. You're going to stand before Jesus. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Amen? Pornography. Pornography has become such a bondage, and it's so rampant. Because unlike the old days when I was a kid, when people had to go down the Bolivar Street and sneak in somewhere, now you can do it in the comfort of your bedroom, your living room, your den, on your job. People go to work and sit there and get on pornographic sites on the job. And the lure and the power and the addiction of pornography is so powerful you can't even begin to understand it unless you get taken into it. Because, you know, if you have problem with alcohol and drugs, it's a struggle. Nobody's making it easy. It's a struggle. But you can separate yourself and get away from the alcohol and the drugs. But you cannot unplug this brain. And once you get those things burned into your mind, the devil just keeps bringing them up over and over and over again. It takes deliverance from the Lord God himself, and then it takes accountability.
Amen. What a sin-busting, devil-chasing message. Will the real Christian please stand up? It's time for everyone who names the name of the Lord to depart from iniquity. If you're not living right, don't call yourself a Christian and get out of the church until you're ready to walk the talk. It's time for Christian celebrities to lay down their titles and take up their towels of humility and wash the feet of the saints and serve the body of Christ. It's time for the righteous of this generation who stand in God's holy hill behind the pulpits and lecterns of Christianity to purify their hearts and cleanse their hands. And it's time for all of us to prepare ourselves for the onslaught of religious, especially anti-Christian persecution that is being unleashed in our nation and will only increase as perilous times are here. If you are stirred by this clarion call of the Holy Spirit and you want to hear this message again and or share it with others, request offer number SK162 and send a love gift of $10 or more to support this radio ministry and help us keep the message, messages like this, will the real Christian please stand up, on the air. Send $10 or more to R.G. Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203, and request offer number SK162. Or if you prefer, go online and order at www.rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Remember, your love gift will help to keep messages like this on the radio. So order your copy today. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.